Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, joined by Andrew P. Shea. We'll have Ross Tucker along a little bit later for Tucker's Tape and Ask Ross. Andy, before we start with the news, Jim needs to make an apology to our listeners. I screwed up. Yes. Our Monday show with Dustin, some of you may have had trouble accessing it. It was all my fault. Our files are named based on the date, and yes, I did it. We turned the page to 22. However, I stayed in year 2021, so I mislabeled file names, and there you go. Everything should be straightened out now, so if you want to go back and listen to the show, it should be available to you. My apologies. So, Andy, it's a new year. We all have to do that mistake at least once, don't we?
We do. You have to make some kind of, especially the older you get, that transition, because we're creatures of habit, right? The older you get, you kind of like your things a certain way. And once you get used to the 21, you don't want it to change it to the 22 because you're good with the 21s.
Well, there you go. Andrew P. Okay. Shea is calling me an old man, and he is correct. All right, Andy, let's get to the news.
Let's do it.
Enough of my apologies. Hopefully, I won't have to do that again this year. A lot happening. This is the nature of college football anymore.
Yep.
Let's start with a new special teams coach by the name of Stacy Collins. He seems to have been around for a while. A lot of experience. What stuck out to me, though, was all his experiences from the Northwest. And I believe a lot of these assistant coaches, you hire them with recruiting in mind. Does this mean James Franklin wants to open up the Pacific Northwest as recruiting territory?
Yeah, I don't think so in this case. I think he's looking for something out of his special teams that he's been getting the last couple years when they were coached by Joe Lorig. And I think he thinks this guy can continue that more than anything. Because if you think back to three years ago, think of the special teams, right? Like, it was just an absolute train wreck. And Joe took the same job. He left Penn State and took the same job at Oregon. And you could say, well, what's a lateral move? Why did he leave Penn State? But, I mean, special teams coaches, they're not really the climb the ladder guys. You know what I mean? Like, you don't see a whole lot of head coaches in college football who are special teams coordinators, right? Like, hey, he took over the job at Western Michigan after being the special teams coordinator at so-and-so school. So I don't think there's anything to do with that. Yeah, this guy's all about Northwest, the Northwest part of the country. He played there. He had a bunch of jobs there at smaller schools. Most recently, he coached at Utah and Boise State. And his special teams at Boise State were known for, like, a better return game. Under Joe Lorig, Penn State special teams became became not terrible, but they also became very good at kick coverage, and he had a really good kicker in Jordan Stout. So I think James was maybe looking for another dimension out of this guy, but he also is looking for him to hold the line on the kick coverage. And maybe it's a recruiting thing. James is always about recruiting, but I looked at it from a football perspective.
Well, the special teams the last couple of years, I think what's made it special is, like you said, Jordan Stout kicks the ball into the end zone, so there's no return. On the flip side, Penn State's kick returners have been mostly fair catching and getting the ball out to the 25. And the one thing I always love, obviously Jordan Stout's punting has been exceptional, is Jahan Dotson as the punt returner. He doesn't even bobble the ball, let alone fumble it. So,
like, silky smooth, silky, silky smooth. And their kick coverage has been good, right? No big plays, no train wreck plays. I mean, I don't know who called that fake punt in the bowl game, but we'll talk about that later maybe. But
let's go to some of the player movement.
Yeah, lots of player movement.
The players staying. Let's start. I think the biggest one, literally and figuratively, is PJ Mustipher has made a decision to return. We know he's had an injury, a leg injury, perhaps fairly serious, then that he may not be ready for spring practice. But if he comes back healthy, that's huge for the defense next season.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure if he stays healthy. He got hurt in the Iowa game. I think it was a significant lower leg injury. Knee's a guess, right? That's a good guess. We don't get the injury details, but I don't know if he gets hurt in the Iowa game if this is the case, right? Like, I'm not sure. I mean, his game was at that next level until he got hurt against Iowa. And if you remember, he got booed by the Iowa fans and affirmed by Hawkeyes coach Kirk Ferentz in one of the remarkably classless moves that I've seen in a long time. But you get to build around him, right? You take that. You take him coming back. I'm not sure, because as a one technique, his numbers don't wow you. I mean, in 36 career games, he's got, what, 10 TFLs and 3 sacks. But if you know football and you watch him play as a one technique in the middle of that defense, you know that you knew last year, even up until he got hurt, that he was becoming dominant, and it was already moving in season up a ladder. So Penn State gets the injury's unfortunate for PJ. It helps Penn State's defense a lot that he's coming back. You can build up front around that guy if he's healthy.
Definitely you can. And Andy, I don't think there's much doubt that he would have declared for the draft if he had remained right. Healthy. And especially you look around at all the other players from the defense who've made that decision. I don't think there's any doubt he would have made that call also. Another one that did declare for the draft was Jesse Lucada. And what's interesting was, as opposed to the decision so many of his teammates on defense made, which was to opt out of the bowl game, I think Jesse Lucada really ensured his place among the good feeling from the Penn State fans by actually choosing to play in the bowl game before declaring for the draft. So good for him.
Yeah, for Penn State fans, he did 100% earn a season or a lifetime pass on the good ship lollipop, right? He played in that bowl game. He finished the season. It was a 50-50 choice and let him play. They kind of needed him in that game, I would say. But the flip side of Jesse is I think I saw recently that he secured an invite to the combine. Good for him. And through the 2021 season, that move from pure linebacker to bit of a hybrid with the DN mixed in, that's an NFL thing. That is definitely secured him the option, a much bigger opportunity at the next level, 100% for sure, especially because, not just because they did it, but because he flourished in it, right? He was able to become even more of an impact player when playing that role, and it fit him really well, and that is a position that is very, very important in the NFL now, and Jesse's going to get a shot at it. Good for him. But, yeah, he played in the bowl game, good ship lollipop, all the way.
And this may be, a segment later in the offseason, Andy, where I want to talk to you about these players who declare for the draft. Some of them, we have the obvious, Jahan Dotson, Jaquan Brisker, they're top draft picks. But it's becoming interesting to me that guys like Ellis Brooks, Jesse Lucada are declaring for the draft. And I guess the thinking is they wouldn't necessarily enhance their draft status so much. So it's interesting to me, though.
Anyway, yeah, it is.
Speaking of declaring for the draft, a couple more players. Rasheed Walker has made the decision. Now, he missed the bowl game. He was on crutches, so there wasn't he was opting out of the game. There was an injury issue. He's another interesting one. Seems physically ready, but we expected so much more from him this past season that we didn't see.
Excuse me. This wasn't a surprise. He's been a 3-year starter, and I remember seeing after last year's draft, you saw him pop up as one of those prospects' names as a potential first-round 2022 draft pick. He had a rough season for whatever reason. 2021 was really, really a rough season for him. I think he's 100% an NFL draft pick, but, you know, where in the draft is the question for me. The tools and talent, they're there, but his development reached a ceiling at Penn State, and possibly you could even make a small argument that it regressed. So it's definitely a sticky spot for him. Not that he's not a draftable NFL talent player. It's where he goes in this draft. That'll be interesting.
If you're a left tackle with the physical tools that he has, you're going to get drafted, no matter how disappointing the 21 season was for him. A player who did not have a disappointing 21 season, at least punting the ball, was Jordan Stout. He made the declaration for the NFL draft. And as a kicker, he's not going to change his status at all by coming back one more year, okay? But he, to me, that's an NFL punter.
You think? Yeah.
I think.
If Blake Gillikin's an NFL punter, this guy is 100% an NFL punter. And Penn State is going to miss him on many levels, right? For me, the first sort of like, what the heck is going on is when they, in the bowl game, when Jordan Stout didn't come out and kick the first field goal. And I'm like, what the heck is going on? But it just says it, you know, there was a bit of move forward. But, oh my gosh, punters don't necessarily get drafted a whole lot, but he has potential, right? He's a first-team All-Big Ten selection, a Ray Guide Award finalist. He's got all of that pedigree. That's your window. Time to go. 46 yards a punt. Half of them, more than half, ended up inside the 20. He had, like, I think he had 25 punts of 50 or more yards. The excellent, outstanding thing for him on the flip side, great kickoff guy. Obviously, that's how you got to know him first at Penn State, was an outstanding kickoff guy. Well, in the NFL, they're looking for the 2-for-1/3-for-1, which is the punter, kickoff guy. Generally speaking, you're going to get they're looking for the punter, kickoff guy, kicker, kickoff guy combo. So certain teams are going to be interested in him for both. But a lot of holders at the NFL level right now for kicks are punters as well. So it is open season for him. I'd draft him. I want him on my NFL team. I don't care who a fan of what team you're a fan of, you want a good young punter like him, and he's only going to get better, goodness sakes. He's a very good prospect.
I think you make an excellent point there, Andy, with the fact that he can do more than just punt. Right. Obviously, I think he's an NFL level on the kickoff, and he hasn't shown consistency as a field goal kicker, but the ability is there. Again, as a secondary guy, you've got a second field goal guy just in case your other kicker has an issue. So that ability to do multiple things. All right, that's it for quarter number one. Stick around. We get Ross in for quarter number two.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.